Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Comedy Alive for the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. What's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Yeah, we'll get to the big football trade. Yeah, we'll hit a little Tiger Woods, Rory. What I do now is I literally take out my headphones, I hit the off button, and I hand it over. I can still hear you because you're right in the same studio.
What trade happened, by the way?
And we'll get to that. And because all the texts and all the tweets over the weekend, how's Tiki, to check on Tiki, how's Tiki doing, what's going on with Tiki, how's Tiki doing? So let's find out how my partner's doing, get his thoughts on the game. I'm hitting the off button. It is Tiki's turn to fill you in.
Yeah, well, it's not even about me filling you in, because a lot of people would assume that I would be upset. In fact, I've gotten asked that question right here in our studio. Are you upset with what happened this weekend? And if not, is it because you're not that big of a fan or whatever it may be? But just for a second, I just want to look at this as a whole, right? The things that are happening in this NCAA tournament are unprecedented. Syracuse, who was literally the last team in to this tournament, the 68th pick at large bid, beat Michigan State last night, right? UNC was completely outclassed inside. This is a matchup issue, obviously, with their two big men, by Texas A&M.
Virginia pretty soon, buddy.
Got beat by 21. I will. Nevada is down by 22 to Cincinnati, which is the second best, second best defensive squad in the NCAA.
And the second best second half comeback in the history of the tournament.
Agreed. But Cincinnati's the second best defensive squad in the country behind Virginia. Virginia also gave up 74 points in their loss. Nevada comes back by 22 and beats Cincinnati. Xavier loses to Florida State last night. Now, Florida State, yeah, they've looked good in the tournament. Down the stretch, they lost to NC State by 20 in the regular season of the ACC. Things are just quirky in this NCAA tournament. We're seeing it every single night. Mm-hmm. Loyola is going on to the Sweet 16.
Rosary Beads still working.
Chicago.
Oh, I love
it. Chicago. And I had this conversation with John Rothstein just right before we started our show.
Yep.
And I asked, and I said, John, when it's all said and done, we're going to have John in here the next hour. So 4:30 or so Eastern time, John Rothstein, our CBS insider, will come join us. But I said to John, I said, when this is all said and done, there's only two number ones left right now, and it gets wackier and wackier because we're only in round number two right now, through to the Sweet 16. People will say, of course, this was the year that a 16 beat a number one. Going to Virginia, they were off from the very beginning, and you could tell it. Now, my assessment of UVA, and I get this a little bit from some of the things that Coach Bennett, Tony Bennett, said after the game. He maxed out his players. Because they asked him, could your guys have done more? He said, I got everything I could from all of my guys. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you without telling you, our guys aren't great, but as a whole, they play fantastic. And I think as a whole, that's every one of their guys that they play with, 6, 7, 8, however deep they go on any given game day, they can play perfect. You take one little piece out of that perfection, it crumbles. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it felt like. They felt out of sorts at the beginning of the game.
Yep.
Come halftime, when these second half adjustments always favor Virginia. You always see it. Mm-hmm. They're always like this. So 21-21 at the half, I'm like, all right, dude, we're right where we need to be.
Were you really feeling totally confident?
I was feeling like...
You knew you had a game.
I knew we had a game. But in a game, Virginia destroys you in the second half. You end up missing 15 shots. You end up, you know, being frustrated. And coming out of halftime, my belief was that this was going to be a typical second half for the University of Virginia. Mm-hmm. It was as atypical as you could completely imagine. UMBC got hot. They couldn't miss a shot, and Virginia looked lost. Mm-hmm. And I can chalk it up, not with anger, not with, you know, disappointment, but just the reality. Virginia as a whole when all their pieces, including DeAndre Hunter, who obviously missed the tournament, when all of them were working well together, you couldn't beat them. And we saw it. You can't discount 31 wins and two losses and an ACC regular season and ACC tournament championship. You can't just toss it away because they lost to a 16 in the first round.
I got you.
But you can look at it and say, man, they truly exceeded any type of expectation that was out there for them, and they did it to perfection. But as soon as they lost a piece, it could have been Kyle Guy. It could have been Jack Salt, for all that matters. It could have been Mamadi Diakite. It could have been any of these guys. One guy goes down, the whole crumbled, and we saw it. And it's rare because it doesn't usually work like that, but that's exactly how I interpret it.
Okay.
Most importantly, and this, I think this is the most important thing I'll say, and I hate that it's Virginia. I really do. And I hate that it's Tony Bennett because he's now on that short list of best coaches never to have gotten to the Final Four, along with Sean Miller and a few others, right? But if there was going to be a number one that lost, I'm kind of glad it was Virginia because they handled it the right way. There is something about humility and grace and dignity and being able to stand up to your failures just the same way that you stand up to your successes. And not a lot of, I don't know if a lot of fan bases, a lot of student athletes or anyone associated with the program would have handled it the way that Virginia handled it. And it's maybe it's not unique, but I feel it's unique. And it's interesting because there's a sense of disappointment, but tempered with ease with how the season ended for them. Now, it sucks, but I'm not screaming in anger inside. It's an odd feeling, and maybe it's just because of how I was brought up, or maybe it's because, and I think this is more likely the case, just like we tell you this cliche about athletes taking on the persona of the head coach, I think fan bases, in some regard, take on the persona of the head coach as well. His reaction becomes your reaction. His reasoning becomes your reasoning, and Tony Bennett makes it okay for us, and that makes it okay for Virginia to have historically been the first team to ever lose to a number 16 when you're a number one, especially number one overall.
I think Tony Bennett's awesome. I think he's great. You know, it's amazing when now you factor in where they are, or what happened on Friday. That speaks for itself. But you could. This is just a statement. We don't need to debate this. You could make the case that Virginia has the two worst losses in the history
of
college
going
basketball.
Going back to Chaminade, 1982.
With Ralph Sampson, early 80s.
Well, there was an excuse for that one.
Oh, here we go. I know. But there was also an excuse for this one because you said somebody got hurt. Well, there's always an excuse. God, listen,
no,
I hear, let me just give you the emotional response.
A facetious excuse.
I know. I'm messing with you.
And you know it just as well as I do.
Virginia's awesome. It's a great school. You've got great pride for them. I fell for you. But I'm not surprised at your reaction, knowing you the way I know you, because you do place, you know, the class and the process ahead of the scoreboard, and I love that about you. Now, I would challenge, while certainly Virginia is incredibly well equipped to handle this the manner in which they did. There's other teams that could handle it with class. Let's not make it seem like Virginia's the only school in the country that's going to actually say the right
BT,
thing.
No other school has been in this situation. If Kentucky was the number one overall in the SEC champion, SEC regular season champion, and number one overall seed, and they lost to, I don't know, whoever.
UMBC.
In the first round. Yep. Do you think it's handled the same way? Do you think that their players handle it the same way?
You want my honest answer?
Yes.
I think that most people would probably not give John Calipari the benefit of the doubt. I really believe that most people would not. I'm not saying he would deliver it the same way Tony Bennett. They're very different, as you know.
Yeah.
I believe that he would hit a home run in hitting that proper balance
of respect.
Well,
luckily, he doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to, because from a historical point of view, the other aspect of this, they are now they're the number five seed. It's the first time since the seeding was set in 1979 that the top four seeds from a region are not there.
I know.
There's so many things from this weekend. And of course, I wanted to give you the floor and start with Virginia. But you've got the seeding perspective, history, we just went through that, 116. You've got the comeback perspective, Nevada charging from 22 points down. You also have an individual performance historically as Delgado from Seton Hall joins a short list of only five players in tournament history.
Yeah.
have had 20 points and 20 rebounds, of whom are Hakeem Olajuwon and Tim Duncan.
By the way.
You got that as well in a Seton Hall loss.
By the way.
Who, by the way, fought very hard against Kansas.
BT.
Right there.
You didn't even mention that Arizona lost in the South.
The less we mention Arizona, the better I feel about that dirty program. I just don't want to give them anything.
But we're talking about the South.
Yeah.
Think of all the things that have happened in the South. It's insane. By the way, Eric Musselman, Nevada's head coach, will join us later on in our show.
I think he's out of his mind. Love it.
Oh, it's great. It's at the end of this hour, right?
3:40 Eastern is coming up.
Hour. Yep. So we'll get an inside perspective. Because honestly, BT, I clicked that game off. You know how I have the three TVs downstairs?
Sure.
It didn't even just blow out.
Nobody saw that coming.
Nobody saw
it coming. There were no signs, at least. Even on the most, cerebral coaching level, which obviously would take you and I out of the equation. Like, if John Wooden was sitting there watching the game and trying to extrapolate something positive and then transform this into a theory that they would come back from that, they showed nothing.
No.
They literally showed nothing.
You're right.
Not even a remote sense of urgency or the ability to overcome almost 25 points.
I know.
This, Charles Barkley said something really interesting. And listen, we love Charles, but although I do think he takes it more seriously than when he first started jumping into the college game.
About it.
You could tell by what he speaks
to. His first couple years, he had no idea what
he was lost.
About.
Let's be honest. He didn't say anything that made any sense,
really. He didn't watch college basketball.
He could, generalize.
Of course.
And that would make sense about players and, pressure. But in terms of knowing anything about college outside of Auburn, he knew nothing.
Yeah.
And I say that with a smile. He's worked hard to get himself. And Kenny was always pretty good. Kenny always follows the ACC, Kenny Smith. But Charles said something over the weekend that really needs to be illuminated, because I do think that the focus is a little distorted or at least a little misguided. We all focus on the one and done. That is really, you know what's really changed college basketball?
What's that?
The transfer market.
Yeah, you're right.
Nevada's entire team is made of transfers, basically.
No doubt about
transfers.
It.
Transfers!
You're right. And so when we look right now at Sean Miller, who we were just talking about at Arizona, who has six guys on scholarship right now, and they may lose a couple of them going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that program? They'll probably be okay, because some, lower level school or junior college or whatever it may be is going to say, you know what? There's an opportunity for me at Arizona. I'm going to transfer into Arizona. And where previously I wasn't going to get a chance to be the man because Shaq's kid was there, and it's somebody and all these other, 5-star recruits are going to be there. It's a void. I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so Arizona is likely to be okay, even though it feels like they're in no man's land right now just because of the transfer market.
Boy, transfers, it's
so true.
It's a slippery slope. It was created to give the graduate transfer rule, not to go off on this tangent, but it's certainly a part of the tournament now that has forever, I think, changed the DNA of the events of the tournament here.
Changes a program in a year,
BT. It does. And it's dangerous because, listen, it's so funny. Season ends, player X transferring. How do you know? All right, you might know that you get a transfer.
Yeah.
Right? You might know that. But how do you know where you're going to go without having conversations?
I know.
So it's become almost this free agent feeding frenzy.
I hear you, BT.
It's. I'm not saying that it's dirty in the financial sense,
no.
But it's certainly shady in terms of, robbing from one program or influencing or... It's crazy, but that's really part of the reason this is just off the rails in terms of nuttiness. Let's play Tony Bennett before we get to break. I want to certainly play this because it's worth repeating. Tracy Wolfson was awesome this weekend, and here's Tony Bennett, as she usually is. Tony with Tracy post-game, classy. Virginia goes down. Said it all. I don't think I stand alone. I think so many of us would just literally take the keys. If you're a fan of a team that's scuffling, you would take the keys and you would run to Tony Bennett's home in Virginia, leave them on his doormat, and say, please come and coach my team.
You're right.
He gets it all.
The
grades, the tenacity, the respect.
You're right.
He's such a winner.
There's
a lot of respect for him.
There's a calmness in chaos that he has, and it trickles over to his kids, and you see it. That's what I love most about it.
I don't blame you. As a UVA grad, you should be proud, no doubt. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney. Yeah. I got some thoughts on what the Jets did over the weekend. I'm driving to my fantasy draft. I get the alerts. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I'm on the highway. I'm like, get me out of the car. I need to start tweeting and reading. So we'll certainly get to that because it doesn't just affect the Jets, but also the Giants at 2, the Bills at 12, the Dolphins, maybe the Broncos. There are so many dominoes from that crazy trade the Jets hit with the Colts over the weekend. So we'll get to that as well. We've got Eric Musselman, as we said before, Nevada head coach, coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll get you calls too. Tiki and Tierney, great Monday, CBS Sports Radio.
There are times when you call in the special teams. When you need a job done, you have to know your player can execute, especially when you need those players who can muscle through a tough situation. You know, the ones who keep going when there's a pile of defenders trying to take them down. Of course, the same goes for tools. There are times when you're working on your car and need a tool with muscle. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you know what I'm talking about. Well, here's some good news for you guys. O'Reilly Auto Parts is holding their Power Torque Tools DIY Day Sale. That may sound like a mouthful, but that's because there's a wide selection of Power Torque tools on sale now that are guaranteed for life. Shop any of the 5,000 O'Reilly Auto Parts locations or check them out online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
And
don't miss the Power
Torque
Tools DIY sale going on right now. Power tools for the job that the man actually got close. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices.
There was a second there when he pulled the 12. I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, dude. Little Everett on 16 where he hit it out of bounds. Went for the big dog.
Had a bogey, had a six. Had a long putt for five.
Uh-huh. But he went for the big dog. I'm not mad at you. Going for the win after that run. And by the way Rory McIlroy played, you almost had to try to go for it with the drive run on that hole. So Augusta setting up is, sublime. Mm. I don't know how else to describe it. We're going to chat with Eric Musselman coming up here in a couple of minutes. Tiki and Tierney. Tiki and I know you want to bounce something off me, but I wanted to play this one cut real quick. Because now you're starting to hear, Lizzo should step down, even some nut job saying Tony Bennett should be relieved of his job, which is just the height of idiocy. But listen to Jim Boeheim, who has shown a penchant for going on tangents. I remember years back he defended Jerry McNamara at the Garden at the Big East tournament. When Jim is a tough nut to crack, but when Jim's got something to say, he's going to verbalize it well and not mince words. Here's Boeheim on Bennett. Okay, so that's pretty much encompassing everything. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think a lot of coaches came to Tony Bennett's defense. And look, nobody wanted to be the first. It had to happen at some point. It's unfortunate that it was my Virginia Cavaliers. But you're starting to see those people who are proclaiming how devastating this is to a program, to Tony Bennett's career, get shouted down by those that actually know what's going on, like the Jim Boeheims. Now, speaking of Jim Boeheim, I got this question for you, BT.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer it first, but I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
The biggest upset of this weekend was, not forget Friday.
The fact that I took Greg Bird way too early on my fantasy draft like an idiot. Right. But anyway, go ahead.
But he crushed one. He crushed one.
I know he did.
Saturday.
Off a lefty, by the way.
You're right.
And
it was
out of the stadium.
But to me, it was Syracuse watching them play against Michigan State. Michigan State, who for a lot of the year was screaming for a number one, at worst, a number two seed, ends up with a number three. And they lose to Syracuse in a fashion that was just shocking. They dominated the boards, Michigan State. Syracuse is not big. They're not deep. They play with seven guys. Mm-hmm. Maybe seven, sometimes six. But in this game, they outzoned the crap out of Michigan State. They couldn't get any inlet passes. They couldn't make anything drop from outside. And when you break it all down, this is a great coaching job by Jim Boeheim. And on the other side, a horrible job by Tom Izzo. There's a couple of things to point out. Miles Bridges wants to be a three, and John Rothstein told me this last week, and he's right. He wants to be a three and shoot all the time. But sometimes you got to use your big body, get down inside, and go play like a four, right? And especially when your team is on the verge of losing. Worse, Jim.
Which is hard to do against a zone, though, to be fair.
It is.
You
got
to find a soft spot, and you
got
to pass off that.
Okay, so there's a zone. When a zone, we know how it works. You got two guys out front. In three that are sagging back.
2-3.
Yep, exactly. But on the offensive side, there's two guards out front. You got a point guy that sits right in the key, right? And then there's two other guys that
two
are
wings.
Roaming. The two wings that are roaming. Yep. Tom Izzo took out Nick Ward, who has been so good for him. And about 16, 17 minutes a game, he can shoot. He was knocking him down. He was 4-5. He played 15 minutes in this game. Right, the guy who they substituted him for, Ben Carter, averages about 6 minutes a game. Now, if you watch this game, you recognize this player, big number 13, white guy, redshirt senior, standing in the middle, always waiting for the inlet pass. Yeah. Right, so as they get the zone out there, they chuck it down into him. He usually defers it to one of the wings. Right, after a while, I think Boeheim realized this kid's not going to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to shoot.
It's 4-on-5.
He's terrified of shooting. He catches the rock in the zone beater roll, right? And he just kicks it back out to somebody. Or he, you know, turns around, looks, and throws it to one of the wings who's not in a position to shoot. He played 23 minutes in this game, BT. 23. He's played 6 all season long. Now, Jaren Jackson, who was struggling, played 15. Mm-hmm. This is number one. This is going to be a top first-round pick. He played 15 minutes mm-hmm. in the most important game. Tom Izzo overthought himself, and Jim Boeheim...
Or didn't think at all.
And Jim Boeheim took advantage
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, he did.
He took absolute... Because Syracuse had no business winning this game.
I don't... I mean, it sounds so hollow to say this that yeah. I don't think Syracuse is very good, because you sound like an idiot when you say that and they're still playing.
I know.
I've watched them a lot this year. I don't think they're that good.
BT, they were 8-10 in the ACC.
Not taking credit away from them.
They got out-rebounded by 20. 20.
No. Was it 20? I thought it was. 44 I didn't know it was quite
24.
That high.
Oh, wow. They got 20. Dominated. Michigan State would miss a shot, get the board, miss another one, kick it out, miss another one. Yeah. It was unreal how they got outplayed and outcoached in this game. So kudos to Jim Boeheim. Thanks for sticking up for Tony Bennett, Jim Boeheim, but also. Nobody expected this.
It's a great win.
It's an unbelievable win.
And you know, as much as I'll say Syracuse, not a vintage Syracuse team, and they're not. They're such a great program.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, these are the programs. I mean, what's truly the definition of a program? On their best year, they pop, or a team that even when you don't think they're that important,
mm-hmm.
here they are. You're one of 16 teams still standing.
You're right.
And it seems like they do this every year.
Right. We talk about matchups all the time. In the NCAA tournament, it's all about the matchups. Just ask North Carolina, who just got destroyed by the bigs at Texas A&M. But in this one, it was a lot of coaching, too.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you mine real quick on this. This one's pretty easy for me, I easily could have latched onto that. But to be different, I took a lot of Twitter heat from from people who know that I cover the Big East, whatever. Oh, you're not giving the Big East any love. How come you're not giving the Big East any love? And I'm like, I got Villanova winning multiple games. I had Seton Hall winning the 8-9 matchup against Kansas. I had Butler winning round one. I had them losing to Purdue yesterday. They did.
Yep.
I guess their main gripe was not, and I've been saying this on the air for a while,
Xavier.
Not giving Xavier a lot of respect in terms of pushing them through brackets and really pumping them up on the air. So while I had Xavier winning this game, I had him losing the next. So it was a pretty short run for a number one seed. And I am very surprised that they lost to Florida State. I mean, they got a couple of players who've been around a long time. I mean, McCure has played, he's probably played 120 games. I mean, 115, 120 mm-hmm. games, whatever it is. There's great continuity with Mack, who's been there, who played there, who's a great coach. I think he's a great coach. And they got a first-round pick in Trayvon Blue, who I've talked about all year. I've talked about for 2 years. But why I'm not surprised that Xavier lost. I am surprised that Florida State was somehow able to regenerate. I mean, you look at what they did at the end of the season. Loss, loss, overtime win, win, loss, loss, win, loss. That's regular season, right? And then...
And look at the score on some of those losses.
Some of them were very lopsided. 92-72 at North Carolina. You referenced that
NC
one.
State, yep.
They got smoked at Clemson by almost 15 points. Knocked around.
How about Clemson yesterday?
Yeah, I know. I know. That was, 84-69 at Notre Dame. The Irish didn't even make the tournament. Mm-hmm. But why I'm probably most surprised, remember, I had Missouri going all the way. Mm-hmm. Who's the clown in the room? That would be me. Going all the way to the Final Four, as ludicrous as that sounds. But it was painfully evident that trying to mesh Porter's talents that late in the season, and I knew it could happen, but I also was willing to roll the dice on his NBA.
Yeah.
He's the number two or number three pick overall. And I hope he might actually come back. So the fact that they beat Missouri, there's context there that I wasn't stunned in hindsight, but I am very surprised that Xavier lost to them.
Yep.
That's not supposed to happen. Xavier's supposed to win that game.
Agreed.
1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. Coach Musselman from Nevada. He'll join us coming up next. We'll get to the big trade in the NFL as well, with the Jets scooting up a couple of spots and giving up a lot to do it. We got John Rothstein from 4 Eastern all the way through 440, so back-to-back segments with John. Right now, we've got Axe Update. Here's Rick. Okay, Tiki and Tierney back Monday. Time for Doing More, brought to you by the Home Depot. Before we hook up with a guy who likes to take his shirt off and win big games, head coach in Nevada, Derek Musselman. He's on the line. Sit tight, coach. We'll get to you. The next generation of home improvement, everything you need to do projects smarter. It's the Home Depot, more saving, more doing. And we take a look at a player or players who did a whole lot for their team. How about the twin tandem of Cody and Caleb Martin? as the Wolfpack overcome two double-digit deficits, advanced to the Sweet 16. As you know, the first round, 7th seed in Nevada, trailed by 14 to number 10 Texas. They tie it up. They send it to overtime, where Caleb nails the three, actually a couple of the three clutch three-pointers to beat the Longhorns and then up. And against Cincy, Cody stepped up at 25-13 at the second half as the Wolfpack complete the second largest comeback in NCAA tournament history. We chronicled that before. It's they looked like they were dead.
Yeah.
And they come back and they rip it off and they get it done. Incredible win as they take out the Bearcats. So up next, the South region, upstart Cinderella, number 11, Loyola Chicago. So before we get to Coach, let's hit rewind. Courtesy of Westwood One, final sounds, Wolfpack moving on. So again, that's how it sounded. Incredible journey so far, and it's not over yet. Eric Musselman, Nevada head coach, as we hear the recall and the replay from Westwood One. Coach Tiki and Tierney, welcome, buddy. How you feeling today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Mm-hmm, no doubt. So, you know, I mean, I've heard you on a few spots driving around over the weekend, you know, and everybody tries to ask in a unique way, like, what are you really thinking? At what point did you really think you were going to win? I mean, what did you say when you what were you thinking when you burst in the locker room? And they're all good questions. What I want to know is, when you brought out the Bulls at the start of the season, I want to take you back to the first practice. All right, first campus, maybe you do a little Midnight Madness kind of thing, get everybody involved. What was Eric Musselman's, what was the apex in your mind that you thought your guys could truly achieve if you hit all cylinders?
Well, in truth, what we ended up doing, it was about in June. When we started our summer school sessions, we have an access code to get into our locker room, and I met with the team. And last year, our access code was date of Selection Sunday. This year, our access code to get into our locker room, and I guess I'm going to have to change the code now that I'm going on national radio talking about it.
Let's hear it.
It's 16-16, and that was to represent that our goal was get to the Sweet 16.
Wow.
Obviously, we're going to have to change the code because we want more now, but that was our goal at the beginning of the season.
And by the way, it's not the only thing you're going to have to change. How about the terms to your contract, Dad? You know what, Eric? Hey, listen, don't even, we're not going to, maybe at the end we'll, but I'm just messing. Yeah. That's a great story.
We know what it 16, is. We know
16.
What it is now.
But pay the man.
0404, that's the new access code. Coach, I know what the goals are. And everybody who's really wants to achieve or has achieved before and is trying to influence those below them, like the kids that you have now, you encourage them to set goals. But when did you realize internally and what did you express to them that this goal could actually come true, specifically in this game against Cincinnati, who has an unbelievable defense? They're second in the nation behind my Cavaliers, who lost as well. But second in the nation, giving up only 57 or so points. When did you believe, or when did they believe, that they could do this?
You know, I think as a coach, you always have to go back and like reevaluate everything you do. And in our players' defense, I might have built up Cincinnati too much. Mm-hmm. I talked over and over about their toughness and about their rebounding, and I think it might have affected the way that we played in the first half. I might have. They knew they were ranked sixth in the country. They knew their seed. They knew who was on their roster. They knew that they were a program that has great respect throughout the country, throughout the entire college season. I probably built them up too much, to be honest, and it's a great learning lesson for me because we played so poorly out of the gate. But when we got behind, some of the things that we talked about, I think at the 10:58 mark, we were down 22, and we just talked about, hey, the next time we meet, the next media timeout that's coming in 4 minutes, how do we go from 22 down to 16 down? And then the timeout after that, how do we go from 16 down to 12 down? And then after that, how do we get this thing into single digits? And, you know, one of the things that happened to our program last year is we played in Albuquerque against New Mexico, and we were down, I think it was 26 points in the second half. And it was around that same time, that 10-11 minute mark, where we made a huge push and a huge run, and we ended up winning that game against the Lobos in overtime. And I think because that happened last year, we always think, no matter how much we're down, that we have a chance if we just keep playing and stick with it and try to get defensive stops and try to make some adjustments. And And so there was no panic last night, and it was kind of weird.
Yeah,
because,
you could see it.
We were getting crushed, and the guys kept believing.
Wow. It's Eric Musselman, head coach, Nevada. Of course, still moving on in the Sweet 16, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, you know, you look at what's next. I mean, it's kind of crazy to say. You should be favored against Loyola of Chicago, right? Who would have thought, right? You got this insurmountable mountain of Cincinnati, defensively at least, and now here you are sitting in the Sweet 16 with a real chance to get to eight. To the Final Four. What in your mind are you thinking right now?
I mean, we're just like, you know, because we play a Texas team in game one that it was completely different than us. I mean, they have Mo Bamba inside. They have Jericho Sims at 6'11 coming off the bench. And we're really small. Like, we're 6'6, 6'7 across the board. Our starting point guard, three-year starter, Lindsey Drew, whose dad's now coaching the Cavs, he goes down with an Achilles injury 5-6 games ago, and we move our starting power forward, Cody Martin, over to the starting point guard spot, and we're still kind of like evolving on who we are.
That's great. You know, you're in a tournament, coach, right? You can't evolve. You're in a tournament.
We are evolving, and it's amazing because you brought up Cincinnati's defense, and we had two turnovers in a 40-minute game against the most physical defensive team and playing under the brightest lights you can possibly play. Like, how do you only have two turnovers is mind-boggling to me. And I think that's really what kept us in the game, too, because even when we weren't making shots, at least we were getting shots on goal. And look, I know Loyola and I know Nevada. Like, we both feel like, you know, we can advance. I know they think the same thing. And so I think Thursday night's going to be an epic, great, great basketball game with two programs that don't really have star name power year after year. Yep. So that's what I think makes this tournament so awesome.
Can't you guys just tie and petition the NCAA to make it the Elite Nine? We don't want it. We don't want either of these teams to lose. Come on, it's a great story, you know.
No, it is a great story for both programs, and somebody's dream's going to end, and someone's going to continue. Yep. In Atlanta late Thursday night.
It's the harsh reality of this event. I hear you, Coach. Eric Musselman, Nevada head coach, with us here on Tiki and Tierney. You know, you watch these tournaments, and over the years, generally, I know that it's changed a little bit here with younger rosters, one-and-dones, the stars, and we've talked about that a lot here. But one thing that seemingly is transferable from year to year is roster continuity generally displays poise down the stretch. Because they play together, and they've gone through adverse situations together, and they learn through failure how to plow through them and eventually succeed. And what's interesting about your team, and it's well chronicled, you know, four transfers this year. I believe you have at least five, maybe six coming in next season. That's a lot of moving parts to not get flustered when things are moving at a pretty rapid rate when everybody's watching. That's really impressive.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is, and we do, we have all five starters are transfers. We have four guys sitting out this current year. We got two incoming freshmen next year. And then we've had the injury, and we dismissed a player earlier in the year. So we have seven scholarship players right now. The one thing is my background being in the G League and the minor leagues is, you know, one day you wake up and three players are called up, and then you wake up 4 weeks later and the NBA parent team sending you three new guys. And so roster flexibility, you know, to me, I think we got the most stable roster ever compared to what my coaching life's been over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's right. When you put it that way, you're right. Yeah. And you hear guys like Gerald Green or Jeremy Lin, guys who you coach, talk about how you were so instrumental in calming them and giving them perspective. I mean, that's got to help in this world where there's the transfers are coming in and out, and it's short-term or short-lived, time with you, still be able to execute and be a part of the team. It's a skill.
No, it really has. I mean, I look back at, like, those G League times, and like Gerald Green, he just needed somebody to believe in him. He was kind of known as a dunker, and nobody gave him freedom shooting the basketball. And I told him, like, hey, we want you to be a three-point shooter, and we believe in you. And Gerald just needed a little bit of focus at the defensive end. I think it's so cool how he's had such a great ending to this career, because he kind of, you know, early draft pick, then had to go overseas, and he kind of had to reinvent himself, and he did that in the D-League with us. And even a guy like Jeremy Lin, I mean, he was a guy that really struggled going left off the bounce and turned himself into a really good point guard and has made a lot of money in his career. And that's a neat thing about coaching, is when you can have an impact on players' careers.
I want to, but let's try to monetize this if we can. If you had the option here, Eric, right, to advance to the next game, right, or actually get a cut of every time somebody Googled Eric Musselman's wife, what's more appealing to you?
I would rather advance, but I do think I might, that probably from a monetary standpoint, the Googling my wife's name would probably come out on top.
She's beautiful. She's on TV. She's a personality. Not that I'm in the business of staring at a coach's abs, but it's probably a wise thing that you keep yourself in shape, coach. She's not an old, you know what I'm saying? You got to stay tight there.
That's the bottom line. People keep asking why I'm taking my shirt off. I'm like, I work out like 4 hours a day because my wife is beautiful and I have no choice.
I heard you say that.
Hey, where's the inspiration for these celebrations, man? Seriously, because not very many head coaches in college basketball are getting crazy. Like the kids are getting crazy.
Yeah, our guys get a kick out of it, and I mean, look, it's an emotional game, and you know, like last night, you know, dousing each other, everybody with water, and I think if you really grind and you really work, and you're working in the middle of August, and you're lifting weights in hot weather, and you're running on the track, and you go through grueling practices, like you have to celebrate the good times too, and. And we certainly, when we win basketball games, we have a lot of fun internally, and we don't want to change that. I mean, we have to keep it in perspective. They're still student-athletes. And at the end of the day, if you're in the NCAA tournament, you're advancing, and you can't have fun, something's probably wrong with you.
Yeah, right. Well said. You know, by the way, I almost feel compelled, but I'm not going to ask you, because I think when people say, what's next for Eric Musselman? What happens at this school calls? You know what? It's a disservice to the accomplishment. It's a disservice to your current team. If and when things change, we'll find out. Enjoy the ride. It's awesome.
Yeah, man.
And it's really good to have you on. Thanks a lot for calling in, Eric. Thank you.
No, you guys, thanks so much for having me on. I'd love to come on. It's been awesome. Appreciate it.
No, you got
no
it,
problem.
Man.
Good luck, coach.
Go get the app cruncher going, buddy.
It's funny. Now I got to Google his wife. I have a Google
I got it in front of me. Look, here you go.
But I can't see it all the way over there.
Yeah, well, I'll enlarge it for you.
Danielle Sargent.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting is code for, wow, that was a lot better than I thought. Isn't that what that was?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
No, not interesting. You know what I mean.
Wow, interesting. He's married to her. He's interesting. She's interesting. D-Cell, what are you barking in my ear here, buddy? What? I know, I got to do a read. I'm just kidding. I don't think I have it, but here it is. Hey, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. So just one of the many great stories. And by the way, March, much like the football, like much like the NFL needed this offseason, talking about big players and trades in the draft, college basketball needed this. This was a great elixir for all the FBI probe and all that stuff. Rothstein in studio next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.